Let there be light.
Thank you, girls. Yelp. So, last week, what did we talk about? Y'all should like be ready. Like, this question's coming every single week. Okay, but what specifically? Like, you can't just go, I have an idea, let's read the picture on the board. That's the series slide. That's all it is. Like, that's not, hey, this is what we talked about. Popcorn? What about popcorn? It's good. Okay, we talked about how good popcorn is. And salty chips. And you know the best way to remember what we talk about? Like, take notes. You don't have a pen. So, note to self, if we form a youth group volleyball or baseball team, Derek, not it. Oh my goodness, paper and a pen. It's like, this is how we take notes. Didn't they learn this in school? All right. So, while you're getting settled, figuring out what you're going to write on your paper so that you can actually, you actually have to hold on to the paper and bring it back next week to know what we talked about.
Okay.
Just a hint. The easiest way to do that is what? Or bring a notebook. Can you give a guess what we're talking about? Sure, you can give a guess. No. Close. We are salty. So, yeah, like I said, if you bring your Bible, you can put the notes in the Bible, and then when you bring your Bible back, they're right there. Or, like Emily said, if you bring like an actual notebook, then they're already in the notebook. Okay. So, Matthew 4:19. Go there. Matthew 4:19. Derek, am I on? I don't sound like I'm on. I don't feel like I'm on. Okay. Whatever. It's good. Right.
How are you doing?
4:19. Read it. Hey. Loud. They need to hear you back there.
Jesus called out to them, come follow me and I will show you how to
be. So, these are the first words Jesus ever said to his disciples. Come follow me. And what? See, we get really good on the come follow me part, but what else? I'll show you how to be fishers of men. So obviously this concept of talking about Jesus was from the beginning. It wasn't like Jesus said, hey, come follow me. I'll teach you everything you need to know about God. I'll give you all the wisdom in the world. I'll let you meet a lot of people, and then I'll make you fishers of men. It was step one in the process, not phase two. From the very beginning, that's was the plan. Okay? Acts 1:8. Flip over probably 30 to 40 pages, roughly. Acts 1:8. All right, Mariah wants to read. Sorry, Kristen. You can still find it. Oh. I got two. Samaria.
And it's to the end of the earth.
So what's he say? These are the last words of Jesus to his disciple. Okay? We got the first ones, we got the last ones. What's he saying? What's the first sentence?
But you will receive power with the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
Okay? And so then what's he tell them that they're going to be? Nope. Witnesses. Last words of Jesus, you will be my witnesses. What are the first words? I'll make you fishers of men. What are the last words? Maybe these have some importance. Maybe. Possibly. So, what is the book of Acts? We've talked about this before. What is the book of Acts about? Not the apostles, what they did, kind of. But when you look at the big picture, what is the book of Acts about? The church. How? What about the church? It's beginning to grow. So the church goes from like however many people Jesus impacted. Okay. However many people Jesus impacted to hundreds of thousands of people. And how did this happen? How did it go from a small number of people to this enormous, essentially religion in a short period of time? Because people spread the word. I agree. They said, hey guys, come to our church, sit in our pews, play our games, eat our food, and we'll tell you about Jesus. Right? Nobody? Yes? That's what I said. I said, hey, come to our church, sit in our pew, play our games, eat our food, and we'll tell you about Jesus. No? What is it? Make up your mind.
Is it like if they were telling them like these stories about what they're witnessing and they saw all this and it
in a church, right? Mm-hmm. But they told the stories in a church. No. No, around the world. The disciples rocked the entire world because they went outside of a building and began to spread the gospel. It was not a come and hey, hang out, see what's going on, any of that. But they went out and did their thing. They went out and continued to talk about Jesus because they had no other choice. So, again, last few weeks, we've been talking about this whole concept, this big, huge word called evangelism, you know, this Christianese. Here's the thing. This does not need to come out of guilt, okay? If I don't do this, Aaron's going to get mad at me. No. God may get mad at you, but I'm not. Okay, but that still doesn't need to be our motivation. Our motivation needs to be the same as the disciples. Why did they go tell everybody about Jesus? They wanted people to go to heaven. They wanted them to get saved. The love they had for another. Okay, all those are great things. But the main reason that they went and told people about Jesus because he changed their life. And that needs to be where we sit. Not, oh my goodness, Aaron's going to get mad at me. God's going to get mad at me. I'm going to feel bad. None of this guilt world. But we need to tell people about Jesus because of the fact that he has done something unbelievable in our lives. The fact that when you met Jesus and your life was changed is a miracle. And if you don't believe that, then you need to start seeing things differently. Okay. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a testimony. Hopefully your testimony at this point is not as bad as mine. Okay? That would make me feel very bad. But everybody's got a story. You need to figure that out and start to realize that it is a testimony and that it is a miracle and God did it for a reason. And you need to talk about it. Okay? Go to John 11. We're going to start in verse 30. All right, so here's the deal. Little backstory. There's this dude that Jesus knows. His name's Lazarus. And he's dead. Hey, why don't you get him a Bible? Then he can, like, read his own. There's, like, 25 of them up here. Okay. And give him the page number. Yeah. So, there's a dude named Lazarus. Jesus knows him, and he's dead. Mary and Martha send off for Jesus. Hey, Lazarus is dead. Come here. That's where we pick up. Verse 30. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing at her feet, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked them. They told him, "Lord, come and see." Verse 35, then Jesus wept. Why did Jesus cry? Why would God put that verse in the Bible that Jesus cried? He wanted to show that he loved everyone, okay? Why else, maybe? Do what? Show that everybody cries? That's a good one. Okay, Lazarus and Jesus were super close. Like, maybe not brothers, but like brother from another mother kind of deal, okay? So, Jesus is crying because Lazarus is dead. And he's not happy about it. Like, he was close. Be like, hey, you lose your best friend, you're going to cry about it. This is kind of where Jesus is at. Okay? So, my question then is, your friends around you are dying and going to hell. Are we weeping about this, or do we even care? Because obviously Jesus cared enough to cry. The God of the universe stopped what he was doing and cared enough to cry. And then he did what? Y'all know the story. What did he do right after that? He went and fixed him? Oh, he raised him from the dead. Okay. He fixed him. I guess that works. He put him on his workbench, pulled out his screwdriver, and okay. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. So Jesus cried. Then he raised him from the dead. Obviously, we don't have the power to be like, you're not going to hell no more. But we do have the ability to share with them what will stop that from happening. So is this something that we care about or something that we just go on passing by and we don't pay attention to? As you walk down the halls of your school with, what, 1,000 people every day passing you, do you see those people the way Jesus sees him? My kid, my kid, my kid, not my kid, not my kid. And start to cry for those people? Or are they just faces in a blur of people that you don't pay attention to? So we need to begin to see people through the eyes of Jesus. We need to begin to see people the way Jesus sees them as, that person's my kid. I know where they're going to be in eternity. And that person's not. And I want to do everything I can to fix that. So, what's the big story on the news right now? Okay, gas prices are going up is a big one. Yeah, we're all mad about that. But because of the hurricane. Obviously, all the damage. So, the people in Dallas-Fort Worth, what are they doing right now because of the hurricane? Sheltering people and stuff like that, yep. A lot are gearing up to head down there. Things need to be rebuilt. People need houses. People need clothes. People need all kinds of stuff. We're collecting towels and clothes and all that stuff. We're going to take a bunch of stuff down there when it gets opened up too. I've had two phone calls from buddies of mine. Hey, you want to go down and help do some relief stuff? I did it for Hurricane Ike. They're like, you want to do it again? I'm like, no. I don't want to do that work anymore. I'm done. I didn't want to. Yeah. Don't need to say that. So, in the youth pastor world, everybody's talking about the mission trip thing. Because, like, obviously this isn't going to be fixed by, like, next summer. So, everybody's like, we should take mission trips down there. That's what we're going to do. Like, I'm sure that's going to be, you know, just the center of where everybody's going to go. May even be where we go. But I want to show you something real quick. Put that deal up. Yeah, that. Can anybody just guess what the red dots are? All the churches. No, there'd be like eight times as many dots. Shelters? No. Roofing companies? No. What are the eight dots? People that have died? No, this is Fort Worth. Like, this is, see, Fort Worth. Haltom City. Okay, so we're like right here. This is like a 10-mile radius of right here. So how many people have donated? No? Died? No. What, died? In Haltom City? This is proof to y'all that I don't rehearse my sermons in front of Emily, okay? She has no clue what I'm talking about whatsoever. Satellites? No. Just tell us. Emily's patience level is about like this. Gas stations, no. Here's what this is. Every dot on that map is a high school or below within 10 miles of this church. Okay? So again, everybody's talking about going on these mission trips to Houston to take care of things. That's our year-round mission trip right there. Mariah's eyes are like this big. Oh my gosh. Mariah, let me make this easier for you. Yours is not these 50. Yours is that one right there. Probably that one right there. Do you get it yet? Is this starting to make sense a little bit yet? Your year-round mission trip is not Houston. Your year-round mission trip is your school campus. See, instead of waiting until this summer and saying, Aaron, we want to go on a mission trip and it's going to cost $300 or something. We're going to go do this and this and this. Why don't we start right here? What do you think would happen, okay? We have almost nobody that goes to any of these schools at all, okay? Almost nobody that actually goes to these up here. But what do you think would happen if all of these schools every single person in that school was told the gospel by the end of the year. It is a lot of people. Here's what I want you to understand. The day of Pentecost in Acts, it says that 3,000 people were added to the church in one day. That's the size of Fossil Ridge High School the year I graduated. The entire school. Entire school. Later on in the book, it says 5,000 men were added to the church. Men alone. Women didn't count. Okay? So, let's think about this for a minute. Okay? 5,000 men. The only men that counted were those that were married. So what does that mean? The number's now what? Bigger. How many? If there's 5,000 men, that means there's 5,000 women. So how many people? 10,000. Okay. 10,000 people. That's Haltom High School and Birdville High School all together. Plus a little bit. In one day. Oh, no, wait, I'm wrong. It wasn't just men and women at this meeting. There were kids. So let's just assume that nobody had more than two kids total. Period. That's it. So, how many are we talking now? 20,000. That's every student in middle school and above in Birdville ISD in one day. Yeah. No, you're right. We cannot convert everybody. That's not our job. Our job is to share. It's up to them and the Holy Spirit what happens with it. But if we don't tell them, then they never have the opportunity. So I'm just saying, that's what happened then. Everybody in Birdville ISD from middle school up in one day. So then here's my question. In this group, okay, how many people went to camp? Okay, total number 25, not counting the adults. Okay, you can put your hands down. 25 people in this room went to school, or went to camp. Of those 25 people, because of you, how many people have been added to the church in one day? The answer is probably zero for most people. Either way. I'm just saying, you don't have to answer. Just think about that for a minute. If 12 apostles, through the process of the book of Acts, were able to make hundreds of thousands of people come to know Christ, then what can we do with 25? Not your problem. So here's the deal. Raise your hand if you don't like your school.
I love my school.
Dislike my school.
I just hate the uniforms.
Okay. All right, so hang on. We're going to have to get kindergarten teacher or first grade teacher Emily up here. This is one of those no talking exercises. Raise your hand if you don't like your school. Leave it up for a minute. Okay? Raise your hand if you don't like at least one of your teachers. Put the other hand up.
I hate
Okay, so some of you will have one hand. Some of you will have two hands. None of you will have a mouth moving. But hold on. What do you say, Emily? Everybody catch a bubble. Okay, there we go. I like this. We're going to begin in my message. Everybody catch a bubble. By the end, there will be total silence in my room. No, I'll be passed out on the floor. Okay, anyways, so We all have some kind of issue with our school, right? Good? You're at that school for a reason. Why? I love it when Kristen sets me up for my next perfect like point thing to show the light of Jesus Christ to those around you. Is it sad you all go to different schools? Or maybe God planned it that way. Because again, if all of y'all went to just Halta Middle, then that'd be really difficult. But instead, since all of you go to like 15 different schools, that's not so difficult. Okay? All right. Philippians. Chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. 3. And Kristen says it's on 709. We believe her since it's not Emily. If it was Emily, it'd be 710. But we believe her. All right, Kristen's wrong. It's 708. Fabulous. Philippians 1:12. Philippians 1:12. We're going to have to take the snacks away. Y'all got too much energy. All right. Hey, we're going to read the word. I don't know if you're aware of this. It's more important than your word. Okay? Go ahead, Mariah. Nope. You know the next one, Matthew. Go ahead, Mariah. Through 14. 12 to 14.
For everyone here, including the whole place guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of the encouragement most of believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear.
So who's talking here? Paul. Okay. What's he saying? Let me back up for a minute, okay? Where is he? He's in jail. What's he saying about jail? He's in chains. But what else? Because of Christ. And who knows it? Everyone. So, read verse 14 again. So, you hate your school, you hate your teachers. Are any of you in jail and in chains?
No. I feel like
but some way, somehow, Paul was still sitting there saying, man, I know I'm in the worst of the worst of the worst, but I'm still going to preach the name of Christ because that's why I'm here. Yeah. So, yeah. You may think you've got it bad, but until you've got it as bad as Paul, you've got no room to talk. And even in the bad situation, he still said, I know I'm here for a reason. And that reason is to share the gospel. Okay? Acts 20. No, he doesn't. He has two slides. Neither one of them have text on them. 20. 20. 24. Acts 20, 24. 668.
Yeah,
2024. All right, Matthew, go ahead. All right, you don't want to read. Kristen, go ahead. No, just chapter 20. Hang on, let's do this again.
Yeah.
Okay, 2024. Paul says, my life is worth nothing except to tell people about Christ. Nothing. Nothing at all except to tell people about Christ. Yes. So, all of the things that Paul did, wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, is arguably the greatest New Testament apostle, and he still says, my life is worth nothing if I don't use it to share the gospel. If this guy, who, if you wanted to put somebody on a Christian pedestal, that would be him. If this guy says, my life is worth nothing, what does that mean for us? Us too. So then my question comes back to this. How do we accomplish that?
Tell everybody in the hallways.
So. Your teachers cannot do it. It's against the law. They cannot tell you no. It's against the law. It's against the law for your teacher to tell you you can't talk about Jesus. That's fine. You have to be respectful, but they cannot tell you to stop.
You need Jesus.
Yeah, I said be respectful. Okay. So, let's see. If we're actually going to accomplish this, you said you have to tell everybody in your school. Is that realistic?
No.
No. So then how do we accomplish this? Realistically, how do we accomplish this? Okay. Ivy. Okay. See, okay, hang on. Let me address these one at a time. Okay, the longer y'all talk, the longer we're gonna be here, and it's like hot up here. Okay, thanks. So here's the deal. Ivy said, "Tell your friends to tell you their friends to tell their friends to tell their friends." Okay, here's the deal. That's kind of the beginning. We've got to link arms with other people. Is there a Bible study group or club at your church or at your school? No. This is so amazing. You know what you get to do then?
Make one.
Okay. Hey, again, the longer you talk, the longer we're going to be here. See, I should have been done like 20 minutes ago. Yes. Hey, I don't know if you're aware, but Mariah raised her hand and I called on her. But are you more worried about what people say about you or what God says about you? No. Hang on. Let me get there. One at a time. So again, Bible club at school. Maybe there's a prayer group. Maybe you can say, Aaron, I don't even know who the Christians are. Guess what happens in less than a month? What happens in less than a month at your school? Yep. Yeah. Okay. In less than a month, September 27th, is see you at the poll. You want to know who the Christians are at your school? Find out who's standing around that flagpole.
Wait, where is that located?
At your flagpole.
That's
okay. So. Here's the other piece of this picture. Y'all are killing me. Here's the other piece of this picture. FCA groups. Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Okay? If you're doing any kind of athletics or whatever, find out who sponsors that. See how you can get involved. Linking arms with those people. So that's the quick way to do it. The second thing you said, my friends will be too lazy to do it. Okay? And you would have too before Jesus. See, if you tell your friends about Jesus, then it's not up to you whether they decide to accept him. It's not up to you with what they do with it. But if you believe that God did a miracle in your life, then don't you think he can do the same in theirs? Which means, don't you think that they would take that and turn around and say something about it as well? Because if your answer to that question is no, then I think you need to figure out who God is that you serve. Because my God's big enough to handle that. Yes. Probably because nobody's told them. Yes. There's already, there's a bunch of apps like that all available.
I have a Bible app.
So, again, this year so far, we've seen two people baptized out of this youth group. Doesn't matter who. Why does it matter who? Okay? Like, if it's not you, then maybe you should pay attention in service or come to church on Sunday if you don't know. So, again, two people in this group. In this group. How many because of this group? How many people at this church were baptized because somebody in this group told them about church or God, and they got saved because of it? That doesn't have anything to do with the question. How many people were baptized because of somebody in this group telling them about Jesus? None. I don't know about you guys, but that number sucks. You're in the group. We're happy that people in the group are getting baptized. Now people need that are in the group need to start talking to people outside the group. We need that 2 number to turn into 20. We'll talk about the excuses and all that kind of stuff in a coming week, okay? No more questions. Literally, let me finish, because otherwise parents are going to start getting all kinds of hacked off of me. Y'all got to stop talking as much. So, I'm going to do two things coming up to help this process go along, okay? The first one, I want you to text us if you talk to somebody about Jesus. Just say, hey, just shared the gospel with Shannon. Just want to let you know that we can pray with you for her. Okay? Again, nobody say anything. Maybe they turn around and say, you know what, I don't want to do any of this right now. I'm not into this God thing. I don't want to mess with it. That doesn't mean we can't keep praying for them. God's bigger than you are. They may come back to you in a month and go, hang on. Everything in my life is just blown up. Everything in my life is done. Now I want to know about this God thing you were talking about. Okay? So shoot us a text. Don't have our number? Get it. Otherwise, you know that cute little like remind thing I told you to sign up for at the beginning of the thing that you don't pay attention to or whatever? You can reply to those. Okay? So reply to that. The second thing. Starting next week, y'all are going to love this because y'all like to talk. I'm so excited. At the very end of service, we're going to do what I'm going to start calling Take 5. Last 5 minutes of our time up here. What? Okay. We're just going to take the last 5 minutes to converse about this. It's going to be very informal. Share what it is you want to share. But my hope is that it begins to encourage each other. Maybe Christian says, hey, I tried to share the gospel with this chick, Alice, and she did this thing, and she told me I was stupid, and she did this other thing. Well, maybe now Mariah doesn't feel so bad because Kristen's getting shut down too. Okay, you're going to get people telling you no. It's going to happen. You got to understand they're not telling you no, they're telling God no. So it's not about you. Okay? Maybe people are going to come back and say, oh my goodness, I shared the gospel with Alice. She received Christ. She's actually sitting right here because I actually chose to do what the Bible tells me to do. And that's going to be exciting. Maybe it's nothing more than, guys, honestly, I'm just super, super terrified that everybody at my school hates me and I don't want to talk to any of them. So maybe we can just pray for you. Or maybe there's somebody at school you're wanting to share the gospel with, but you just don't quite have the courage yet. So maybe we can pray for that person. But we're going to take 5 dedicated minutes at the end of every single week and discuss some of these things. I was going to do it this week, but I was like, hey, that might put people on the spot and it'd be weird. And yeah. So you have a week to prepare. There's going to be a pop quiz and you know about it, okay? Oh, is it my turn now? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. There's a pop quiz and you know about it. You might want to show up with the answers to the test. What's the answer to the test? It's not your Bible. It's not Jesus. It's some sort of a story, some sort of something that you're actually trying to take what we've talked about for the last 6 weeks and do something with it. It doesn't do us any good to sit here and hear about it if we leave it in here when we walk out that door. The whole idea is to do something with it as we walk out that door. I want you to share your testimony. You can't share mine. Okay. If there's issues in this world and you're not comfortable, you have problems, Kristen, or anybody else, why don't you come talk to somebody in the adult realm about this? I think I'm an adult sometimes. Okay? Okay. So, next week, last 5 minutes, we're going to talk about this. Be prepared. Yes. Okay. Just a mild hint, okay? Those who want to be on council or those who are on praise band know my standards for you. I expect more. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Okay. Y'all are dismissed. Go to your moms. Tell them I'm sorry that we're late. Say, I'm sorry. Or say, Aaron said he's sorry we're late. I talked too much.